This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which will benefit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be with him in Jannah. Ismail grew up with them and he adopted their language. He learned their language, which was, what was their language? Arabic. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, his language was, what was the language of Ibrahim? Aramaic, from Iraq. Ibrahim alayhi salam was from Iraq. And they used to speak a different language in Iraq at the time. So Ismail alayhi salam was brought up by this Arab tribe and he adopted their language. And he married a woman from among them. So this is the beginning of the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through Ismail alayhi salam in Mecca. Now Jurhum had the political leadership in Mecca. Later on Ismail alayhi salam grew up and his father came and they built Al-Kaaba. The religious leadership in Mecca was with Ismail and it continued down along the line of his descendants. So Jurhum never had the religious authority over Kaaba. It was always in the hands of the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. But the political leadership was with Jurhum. Jurhum stayed in Mecca for a very long time, 2000 years. They became corrupt, tyrannical. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them Khuza'ah. And Khuza'ah kicked them out of Mecca. This is another tribe that came out from Yemen and they settled in Hijaz. They went in and invaded Mecca and they kicked Jurhum out. Jurhum, before they left, they did two things. Number one, they dumped the well of Zamzam. They filled it up. And they erased all of its marks. And they stole the treasures which were inside Al-Kaaba. Khuza'ah now became the new leaders of Mecca. While the descendants of Ismail, by that time, have already increased in numbers and branched out and spread all over Arabia. But there was one branch that remained in Mecca and that branch was Quraysh. So Quraysh is one of many different tribes who descended from Ismail alayhi salam. They are called the descendants of Adnan. So Quraysh were still living in Mecca, but now Mecca was ruled by Khuza'ah. The leader of Khuza'ah, one of their leaders, his name is Amr bin Luhi al-Khuza'i. And we're going to talk about his story later on when we touch upon the religious background of Arabia. But now we want to stick to the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The head of Quraysh, Qusay bin Kilab, he was able to unify Quraysh and to lead a revolt against Khuza'ah. And he was able to drive them out completely from Mecca. So now finally, a descendant of Ismail combined the political and religious leadership of Mecca. Not only that, but Qusay ibn Kilab, he consolidated all of the authorities or all of the different aspects of power in his hands. He controlled Al-Hijabah, which was the guardianship of Al-Kaaba, which was a very noble thing. So he was the guardian of Al-Kaaba. He controlled Siqaya and Ifada, which is the provision of water and food to the pilgrims. Now to you this might not seem as a big deal. I mean, so what if he was providing food and drink to the pilgrims? But to them, this was considered to be such a great honor that you are the one providing for the guests of Allah. So they used to fight on this. So what this responsibility entailed is that all of the Arabs who would come for pilgrimage would be hosted by the people of Quraysh. They would provide them with food throughout their stay in the season of Hajj. So Qusay ibn Kilab also was responsible for that. He also had control over An-Nadwa. An-Nadwa was the assembly of Quraysh. It was like their parliament. He held control over that. And he also held control over Al-Luwa. Al-Luwa is the banner of war. In other words, he was the one who had the power to declare war. So these were the authorities that Qusay ibn Kilab had. Basically, he had every authority that existed in Mecca. So he was the absolute ruler of Mecca. Qusay ibn Kilab, when he died, these different aspects of authority were split among his children. Some of them were with Abd al-Manaf and some of them were with his other brothers. The grandson of Qusay, his name is Amr, he ended up inheriting from his father the provisions of Al-Hujjaj, providing them with food and drink. Amr did something new in feeding Al-Hujjaj. Rather than providing them with soup, you know, they would cook the meat in big containers, and then they would feed the people soup, because that way you could feed a larger number. What Amr did is he started crushing bread into the soup. So he would mix bread with the soup, which was an upgrade to their meals. Now they're, rather than just having soup, they're having soup with bread. Now the process of crushing the bread in Arabic is hashim. When you crush something, it's called hashim. So he was nicknamed Hashim. So they nicknamed this man Amr, they called him Hashim. And this was the great-grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was named Hashim because of crushing bread. That wasn't his real name. His real name was Amr. Hashim married from Al-Madinah. He got married from Al-Madinah. And then he went to Palestine to do business. And he passed away in Gaza. He died in Gaza. He died and was buried in Gaza. His wife became pregnant and she gave birth to a child who was named Shaybah. Shaybah means old man. Now why would anybody call a child Shaybah? The reason is he was born with some gray hair. So they named him Shaybah. And because his father passed away, the mother stayed with her parents in Medina. And he was brought up by his family in Medina. One day a man comes into Medina, his name is Al-Muttalib. Al-Muttalib is Hashim's brother. He went into Medina and he went to claim his nephew. Because Hashim's son, Shaybah, was living where? In Medina. So his uncle Al-Muttalib came to claim him when he was 8 years old or something like that. He said, we want to take him back to his land in Mecca. The mother's side of the family refused to give him up. But then they were Al-Muttalib was able to convince them by saying that he belongs to the most noble family in Quraysh and he has to go back and learn about his heritage and learn about his family and start assuming responsibilities in Mecca. Eventually they agreed to allow him to go. So Al-Muttalib took with him this child into Mecca. Now nobody in Mecca has ever seen this child before. And in those days slavery was quite rampant. You go out to the market and you buy a slave and you just walk in with that slave to Mecca. Since this boy was never seen in Mecca before, they assumed he's a slave of Al-Muttalib. So they called him Abd al-Muttalib. And this is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his real name was Shayba, but he was nicknamed Abd al-Muttalib because they thought that he's the slave of his uncle. And usually they would buy slaves at a young age so that you would raise them up and train them to what you want them to do for you. So they would usually purchase them when they're young. So they thought that he was a slave. And he was named Abd al-Muttalib, the slave of al-Muttalib. Abd al-Muttalib means the slave of al-Muttalib. So this is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now we got far as the grandfather of Rasulullah. We talked about Ibrahim and Ismail. We talked about Qusay. And then we talked about Hashim. We talked about Abd al-Muttalib. Now we'll spend some time talking about Abd al-Muttalib because a few important events happened to him. Actually two. We'll talk about two important events that have occurred with Abd al-Muttalib. Remember that the well of Zamzam was now unknown, right? Because Jurhum, they erased all of its marks. They filled it up and just erased all of its marks. So Zamzam has not been known now for about 300 years. Because Khuza'ah, they had rule over Mecca for about 300 years. And then you add to that the time from Qusay ibn Kulab all the way down to Abd al-Muttalib. So we're talking about 300 years plus. So the well of Zamzam was lost for over 300 years.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may God be pleased with him, reported that the Prophet of God, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, said, "It is associating partners with God to believe in omens derived from birds. But we are superstitious. If we trust in Him, God will put our superstitions to rest." Commentators have studied this hadith exhaustively. In sum, if a believer trusts God and decides upon a course of action, he or she can ignore superstition and the feelings of insecurity that it inspires. It is human nature to be superstitious at times. It is associating partners, however, with God, to believe in and to act upon in accordance with what it seems to dictate.
Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back.
Abd al-Muttalib sees a dream. Someone comes to him and tells him, "Uhfur Tayba." Dig Tayba. Tayba means pure. Abd al-Muttalib in his dream is responding and saying, "What is Tayba?" He doesn't hear anything back. That was the end of the dream. The following night, the same voice comes to him and tells him, "Uhfur Barra." Dig the precious. Abd al-Muttalib says, "What is the precious?" He doesn't hear an answer back. The third night, the voice comes to him and tells him, "Uhfur Zamzam." Dig Zamzam. Abd al-Muttalib asks, "And what is Zamzam?" The voice tells him, "Zamzam la tafna wa la tudam. Tasqi al-hajij al-a'zam bayn al-farth wad-dam 'inda qaryat al-naml 'inda naqrat al-ghurab al-a'sam." The voice tells him, "It will never fail or dry up. It will water the grand pilgrim. It lies between the dung and the blood, near the nest of the crow with the white leg and the ant's nest." So it's symbols. And Abd al-Muttalib is unable to decode all of these symbols. Zamzam, لا تفنى ولا تذم. It never runs out of water. He heard a voice in his dream telling him that Zamzam will never run out of water. تسقي الحجيج الأعظم, and it will provide for the grand pilgrim, meaning Hajj every year, and it will be sufficient to provide water for them. But then it goes into saying بين الفرث والدم, between dung and blood, and then crow with the white leg, nest of ants. So all of these are obscure things to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, the next day he was going around the Kaaba and he sees dung and blood. There was a camel that was slaughtered in that place and they left its insides and the blood was on the other side. And then he saw a crow with a white leg in the same area and there was a colony of ants. Abdul Muttalib realized that this is where the well of my grandfather is. So he calls his son Al-Harith and they start digging. Now, Zamzam, for those of you who have been to Mecca, is not far away from Al-Kaaba. So here you have Abdul Muttalib and his son digging right next to Al-Kaaba. Obviously, this would anger the people of Quraysh. I mean, what are you doing? You're digging right next to Al-Kaaba. So they told him, what are you doing? Abdul Muttalib continued working. And they kept on protesting and he was digging with his son, Al-Harith. At the time, Abdul Muttalib only had one son. So they were digging and digging and digging and the people are wondering what's going on. What is this man digging for? What is he looking for? So they left him alone. And then suddenly they heard Abdul Muttalib shout, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they came rushing. And to their amazement, they found that Abdul Muttalib has uncovered the rim of the well of Zamzam. So now all of the leaders of Quraysh, they came in and said, yeah, this is the well of our grandfather Ismail. This belongs to all of us. Let's share. Abdul Muttalib said, wait a minute. I was the one who saw the dream. I was the one who uncovered it. It belongs to me and me alone. They said, no way. We are all descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, so it belongs to all of us. Abdul Muttalib refused to give up. He refused. And they kept on insisting. So when they were unable to solve the dispute, and they were about to go to war over it, someone suggested to them, let's solve the dispute by going to the witch of Bani Sa'd. Bani Sa'd, they had a witch who claimed to have connection with the spirits. So let's go to her and seek her consultation. So they traveled to this witch and they were told that she has relocated and went to Syria. So they said, well, we'll follow her wherever she is. And they started their journey towards Sham. And along the way, they ran out of water. And they were in the middle of nowhere in the desert. And Abdul Muttalib told them, if we're going to die here, let's at least dig our graves. And whenever one of us dies, the rest could put him in the grave and cover him. So at least in the end, we'll be left with one person who's uncovered rather than have all of us die exposed. At least let's honor our dead and just have one that is without burial. So they all dug their graves and they were laying inside their graves waiting for death. And then Abdul Muttalib, he said, I mean, this is not right. For men like us to sit here waiting for death, let's do something. Let's go and search for water. So they agreed and they went in different directions searching for water. After a short while, Abdul Muttalib found water. So they came to him and said, if Allah has saved you in this desert and provided you with water, and Allah has shown you a dream in which you uncovered the well of Zamzam, this is surely an indication that it's a blessing for you and it belongs to you. We give up our claim, it's all yours. Let's go back. So they gave it up and they agreed to submit to Abdul Muttalib, and it was his.
We'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And may God be pleased with him said, a man gave a prolonged speech in front of Umar. So Umar said to him, long-winded speech in a sermon is the prattle of Satan.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
So this is one important story that happened to the Abdul Muttalib. Now, when the whole incident happened, when they pressured him, when they came to him and said, this belongs to all of us, Abdul Muttalib felt that he is weak because he has only one son to defend him. You know, in the tribal societies, your strength is based on how many men you have on your side. And you can only count on your relatives. That is how life in the desert is. Your strength is based on how many sons, how many men you have with you, how many brothers, how many sons, how many uncles. That is your strength. So Abdul Muttalib felt weak. He has only one son on his side, Al-Harith. So he said, oh Allah, if you bestow me with 10 sons, I will sacrifice one of them for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did bless him with 10 male sons. He had 10 male sons and 6 daughters. So when he had 10, now it's time for him to fulfill his promise to Allah that he will sacrifice one of them. So they had these arrows next to Hubal. Hubal is their one of their large idols. And they believed that these arrows were divine. So they would cast lots. And they would leave their choices. They would leave the decision up to this random way of casting lots. So Abdul Muttalib had the name of every one of his 10 sons on these arrows. So it came on who? Abdullah. He did it a second time, it came on Abdullah. Third time, it came on Abdullah. So Abdul Muttalib took his son Abdullah with him, right next to Al-Kaaba, and he was ready with a knife to slaughter him. Abu Talib, one of the elder sons of Abdul Muttalib, went to his father and said, we cannot allow you to kill your son. And then the maternal relatives of Abdullah came and said, we're not going to allow you to kill our son. And people were coming in and they were telling Abdul Muttalib, if you do it, then it will become sunnah for the Arabs after you. Because Abdul Muttalib was their leader. So if he did something, it would become a trend after that. And they said, if you do it, then any one of us after that who has 10 sons will follow your footsteps and we will be killing each other. I mean, they were already killing their daughters and now they will start killing their sons. So they insisted on Abdul Muttalib not to do it. Abdul Muttalib told them, this was a pledge that I did to Allah. I cannot give it up. I cannot break my promise. They told him, no, you have to stop it. Anyway, they had a dispute. How can they solve this dispute? Let's go to the witch. So they decided to go and visit the witch again. They went to the witch and they told her, this is the situation. She said, all right, come back to me tomorrow so that I can consult my spirits this evening. Tonight I'll speak to the jinn. They came back the next day and she had an answer for them. She told them, what is the retribution that you pay to a person that was killed? Diyah. The blood money. How much is it? They said 10 camels. She said, then put 10 camels on one side and put Abdullah on the other side and cast a lot. If it points towards the camels, then slaughter the camels. If it points towards Abdullah, then add another 10 camels. So they agreed and they went back. So Abdul Muttalib with all of the people of Quraysh, they came together, Abdullah on one side, the camels on the other side. They threw the dice, or the arrows. It pointed towards Abdullah. They added another 10 camels. It pointed towards Abdullah, added another 10. So now we're up to 30, 40, 50, 60, and it's pointing towards Abdullah, all the way until 100. They had 100 camels on one side, Abdullah on the other side. Finally, it pointed towards the camels. The people of Quraysh said, finally, we can release your son. Abdul Muttalib said, not yet. I'll have to do it another time. Cast lots the second time, cast lots the third time. It was consistently pointing towards the camels. So they slaughtered, he slaughtered the 100 camels, and he had to pay for it all. And Abdul Muttalib was a very generous man. He refused to take any of that meat. He gave it out, and there was so much meat that there was so much, and the people would take so much of it, but there was still enough to feed the birds and to feed the beasts. So later on they would say, and it became famous among the Arabs, that Abdul Muttalib is the one who fed the humans and the animals. Mut'im al-tayr fi as-sama'. He's the one who even fed the birds in the sky. And we'll talk about an incident when this saying was brought up in a conversation with Abu Bakr and one leader of a clan. Now the people of Quraysh were right when they told Abdul Muttalib, if you kill your son, it will become a tradition among the Arabs after you. Because when Abdul Muttalib sacrificed 100 camels to save his son, the blood money among them changed from 10 camels to 100. Because of what happened with Abdul Muttalib. So the retribution now that is paid was 100 rather than 10. And by the way, this tradition was kept and reserved by Islam. So the diya is still today 100 camels. However it is, now they would calculate it in terms of currency, but it is still based on that concept. This is the story of Abdullah. Now, Abdullah and Amina are the parents of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later on, they would tell Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are the son of the two sacrificed ones. And who are they? Who are the two sacrificed ones? Ismail and Abdullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the son of the two sacrificed ones. His father Abdullah was sacrificed, and his father Ismail alayhi salam was sacrificed. Abdullah married Amina bint Wahb, and we're done with the ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katheera.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم 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 صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.